I've spoken here at Holy Trinity before over the last 2 years, and I've been a member of this congregation for even longer than that. But on the chance that you may not know me, hi, I'm Michael Hoskin. I'm a library technician by trade, and recently I've become an associate missionary with SIM Canada. In just 3 weeks' time, I will be journeying to the city of Lubangu, Angola, Africa, where I will be assisting a seminary library for 1 year. What an appropriate subject for June, our diocese month of missions. And you might be thinking, wow, I could never commit to something like that. But it makes sense that Michael could. I mean, after all, some of you know I already have an aunt, uncle, and even one cousin who live in Angola. Beyond that, many more of you know that I come from a family of clergy people. You know my brother, Jonathan, is a pastor, my uncle, Derek, a bishop, my father, Andrew, an archdeacon, my grandfather, James, was a canon, so on and so forth, until eventually I think it reaches St. Peter. But if viewed from that perspective, sure, it seems to make sense that I'd become a missionary, doesn't it? But service to God isn't something that happens in our DNA. It's something that happens more specifically in our hearts. You might not know this, but the stereotypical PK, pastor's kid, is not a devout Christian. The stereotype is that we PKs are the ones who rebel most strongly against our parents' faith. Now, whether that's true or not, I've grown up in a culture that expects me to be either, quote-unquote, the best kind of Christian or an atheist. Our culture doesn't really seem interested in a middle ground between those two. So if you think my journey of faith is part one, son of a pastor, part two, became an associate missionary, I'm sorry, there's a lot going on in between those two parts. My faith is a personal thing to me. It isn't simply a Xerox copy of my parents' faith. If you'd like my parents to share their 10-step program that ensured that all four of their children became committed Christians, sorry? They hoped that all four of us would adopt a personal faith, but they didn't impose their faiths on us. So don't ask them, ask the Holy Spirit. I believe I was 12 years old when one evening I was at a service being led by my father, and we were reciting the Apostles' Creed. Suddenly it struck me what exactly I was saying, that the words in the creed came alive to me for the first time. And I knew then that they weren't just words, and I wasn't merely reciting it. I was saying something that I believed. Now, I think I've mentioned in a previous talk here, there was a presentation my Uncle Steve made in the 1990s about Angola, and he announced then that the ratio of landmines to human beings in the country was 1 to 1. I recently asked him if that statistic was true, and he said that, no, those estimates were wrong. It was more like one landmine for every 2 people, so half as many as was feared, and yet still an extremely alarming number. And as he shared statistics about the country and photographs of his patients and described his work in Angola, it opened my eyes to what was going on there for the first time. And I thought, wow, I'm never going there. And that was before I'd even heard his Black Mamba stories. Now, I didn't have a lot of self-esteem in those days. I didn't believe that I had strengths. Certainly not the right strengths to volunteer for a situation that was fraught with so much uncertainty. A number of factors changed my mind, and partly it was this church, this congregation, taking on responsibilities in various ministries here, the projection ministry, the men's ministry, the prayer ministry. They helped me discover my strengths. Holy Trinity's missions in Sierra Leone were as well a big influence on my decision to visit Angola for the first time. And part of it was, again, influence from my parents. They were the ones who encouraged me to consider a mission trip to Angola. I went in 2011, not entirely sure whether I would be useful at all. I didn't even go thinking, wow, What a great sightseeing opportunity to see all the natural beauty of the African continent. I'm sorry, I don't enjoy sightseeing. I live in the mountains. I can look out a window. But aside from a lingering doubt that I might be useful at all, I didn't have expectations for what was going to happen when I went to Angola. I knew that the seminary in Lubangu, called Ishtel, needed some assistance in its library. When I got there and I discovered that there was an enormous backlog of materials that were not circulating, because no one had been trained to do the work to process those books for the shelves, I processed as many books as I could. I instructed students on how to do the work that I was doing, and I wrote some very crude instructions to keep the work going. At the time, I did not speak Portuguese, which is the language of Angola, so I sat down with my pocket English-Portuguese dictionary and translated as much as I could. When I returned in 2013, I found that my instructions were still being used, the library was running smoothly, and it seemed as though my work was done. And seeing the impact my actions had had really grew my faith. In the Gospel of Luke, there's a moment in the story of Jesus' transfiguration where Peter, seeing Jesus with Moses and Elijah, exclaims, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then Luke throws some shade at Peter and adds in parentheses, "He did not know what he was saying." Well, thank the Lord that all four gospel writers enjoyed dunking on Peter, because we are now able to see ourselves in him. When you have a mountaintop experience, like, say, a short-term mission trip to Angola, it is tempting to put up a tent and stay there. It's true that God is in Angola, but then he's also here in Calgary. I think part of why people's faiths grow after a mission trip is that being outside your home culture allows you to see God moving in ways that are not visible to you in your home culture. When I took myself off that particular mountain, I found that there was work that God had for me right here in Calgary. My short-term mission trips made me better able to accept responsibilities here. In fact, while I was in Angola in 2013, I missed the service where Stephen announced me as a member of Holy Trinity's Parish Council. I have been a leader in Calgary's Crucio community. I led a Bible study at the University of Calgary. I became the archivist of the Diocese of Calgary. But I didn't go seeking any of that. Sometimes people came to me and asked for my help. Other times I overheard someone expressing a need, and I responded much like Isaiah in last week's reading, "Here am I, send me." In 2018, I began writing my Uncle Steve's biography, The Benefit of Steel. I interviewed many of his friends and his family members, his co-workers. And when you spend months concentrating on another person's mission, I think it prompts some natural questions in yourself. It had been a few years since I had been on a short-term mission, and I started asking myself, should I be taking another mission? Should it be something a little more formal than what I had been doing? And if so, what would it look like? I brought all these questions to Pastor Stephen, and my biggest one was, how do I discern whether I have a calling for missions? And Stephen's answer was to test it. And I'm sure that everybody who belongs to our prayer ministry is smirking at that. You see, I've been known in prayer ministry as the resident Gideon. And yeah, there's a little truth to that. You probably know Gideon. He's from the book of Judges. He was visited by an angel of the Lord and called to a holy mission as the latest one of those titular judges. And after a miraculous sign of God from the angel, Gideon responded by testing God. He put a piece of fleece on the ground, and he said that if he found dew on the fleece, but not on the ground, then he would know God's will. And that's exactly what happens. Gideon's response to God after this, it opens, "Don't be angry with me. And then he asks that the ground be covered with dew while the fleece remains dry. And again, God sends him that very specific sign. Like Gideon, I try to be specific when I'm praying, especially if this is a prayer to determine God's will, for me or for someone else. I don't preface my prayers with, "Don't be angry," but when I put out a metaphorical fleece, I get an answer. Stephen's suggestion then made a lot of sense to me, and it was simply this: do more than what I had done before. I had never been on a mission longer than 1 month, so he encouraged me to take on an assignment that was larger than that, then see what happens. He likened it to walking through a series of doors. As long as the doors keep opening, then I would know it was God's will that I keep going. And if those doors closed, then it wasn't. I registered with SIM Canada as an associate missionary in late 2018. And basically, an associate missionary is a missionary who serves for a year or less. The needs of the Ishtel Library had changed in recent years, as the library now had electronic resources. SIM Canada and I agreed that I would serve 1 year in Angola, and I would take stock of things afterward. When I first went to Angola, I didn't realize that missionary library worker was even a possibility. I thought missionaries were either clergy, teachers, pilots, or medical staff. But once I became affiliated with SIM Canada, I discovered there were other places looking for library assistants in the world. There is an interest at SIM right now for me to serve in another country that has library-based needs. But until I fulfilled my commitment in Angola, it isn't an option that I can consider. Obviously, it's taken years for me to reach this point. I knew that there was going to be a bit of bureaucracy involved, because there's always a bit of bureaucracy involved in getting to Angola. Of course, I didn't foresee COVID, and that's the reason I didn't depart in spring of 2020. But going back to Stephen's metaphor, I didn't consider that a closed door, a door that was instead kind of sticky, a door that maybe had the janitor's cart parked on the other side. But now that door has opened. I'll be living in an apartment next door to the Ishtel campus. This was something that the staff of Ishtel specifically requested. They like that I more easily integrate with the staff and students. In addition to working at the library, I'll be aiding graduate students at Ishtel. Because they need to defend their theses in English, I'll be assisting them with their ESL. My own Portuguese has been developing for the last few years through lessons on Skype, and I'm looking forward to being more conversant with Angolans than I was on my previous visits. Previously, I thought that being apart from my friends and family for a year, that could be a little rough. Thanks to COVID, I've now been mostly apart from my friends and family for more than a year, so what's another 12 months at this point? Of course, I also have friends and family who are there, and as in our reading in the Gospel today, Jesus said that whoever does the will of God is his brother, his sister, and so I know that there is a spiritual family for me there as well. This time, I'm not anticipating what will or will not happen. I only want to do the work that's been given to me and then see what happens. And that's the challenge that I'd like to leave with all of you, to do more. It isn't so much who your father was, but who the father is. I'm not necessarily saying, go serve the Lord in Angola, although if you're in medicine, my uncle would really like to see you there. I'm saying, don't decide for yourself what your limits are. Open yourself up to serving the Lord wherever you are, with whatever skills you have, and see what happens. As our church says, one more person, one more step. I've spoken in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.